Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on sea energy agriculture when we come back. Well, welcome to Tax Freedom Day. That occurs about May 12th every year, and that means that you work all of January, February, March, April, and a third of May to pay your income tax for the year, and that's not all. Now, you can work the rest of May and all of June to pay your withholding taxes. Now, this income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal enterprises. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth plank. The income tax and Social Security tax also violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Scriptures, including our English common law. Now, 14 million Americans are no longer enrolled in Social Security, and more are opting out every day. That's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Why don't you call or write today for our free general law CD package? You know, Jesus never paid tax to bail, and neither should we. To order that free general law CD package, just call and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org. All right, we've been talking about this thing of sea energy agriculture. It's a phenomenon. Of all of the creatures that live in the ocean, none of them have degenerative disease. And that's just a phenomenon that I didn't know before until I picked up this book. It's called Sea Energy Agriculture. It's written by a fellow named Maynard Murray, M.D. He got started on this from a college experiment. In 1932, in biology class, he injected a toad with cancer. And the toad didn't get cancer. He couldn't make the toad get cancer. And then he looked at that and said, well, why is that? That's a phenomenon. You know, if we're injecting cancer cells right into this critter, he ought to come down with cancer, but he didn't. So he took a look at what this toad was eating. He looked at immune systems. He looked at the trace minerals, the trace elements in the soil. And he came to a conclusion. One day he woke up and he said, you know, these trace elements are important, and if you don't have them, you develop a symptom. Joel Wallach came to the same conclusion, that if you're lacking one of these 92 nutrients, you're going to develop one of 450 symptoms. Now, Maynard over here, this Mr. Murray, now a medical doctor, scientist, experimenter, he took a look at where do the minerals go, and the answer is they go into the ocean. In the final analysis, the minerals that are leached out of the soil up here in Iowa end up down in the Gulf of Mexico, and they get mixed with that seawater worldwide, and it's got about the same percentage of minerals in Indonesia as it does in Korea and Japan, as it does in California and the Gulf of Mexico or France. All over the world, the mineral content of the oceans is pretty uniform. And all of the minerals are in there. All of them. So now we took a look at this and said, well, if I was to take these minerals out of the ocean and grow my tomatoes and peppers and beets and beans with it, would the sodium chloride, would the salt in the salt water kill the plants? And the answer is no. And if I did that, would the plants be healthier? And the answer was yes. And if I fed those plants to other animals, would those animals be healthier? And the answer was yes. And so this leads us to the conclusion, well, why don't we just eat these sea salts right out of the ocean, and then we'd get all of our minerals, wouldn't we? And so you might exclaim, why not sprinkle sea salts on our foods and get healthy? Well, it simply doesn't work that way. And anyone with a cursory knowledge of biology knows that humans and other animals cannot obtain any benefit from the elements unless they have been hooked up with a carbon atom by the green plants. So let me just pause right there, put my mark in the margin here. Now you go down here to the store and they say, well, we want to sell you these vitamins, and these vitamins are made out of petrochemicals. Now, the general argument is that, you know, vitamin C is vitamin C, and that's not true. Iron is not iron. Now, if you want to test this, you go out to your shop and you take a nail and you put it on an emery wheel and just grind it up into a little pile of flakes down there at the bottom of the wheel, and then take those and pour them in some water and drink it, and you're taking iron. And what you're going to find out is that iron is unavailable to the cells in your body. Now take those same iron filings and throw them out on your ground, in your garden, and the plants out there will convert that iron into organic iron, and that organic iron is now available to your body. It has to go through the plant. It has to have that carbon atom attached to it so that it becomes organic instead of inorganic. Now the plants out there consume and convert inorganic into organic. Now that's what organic agriculture is all about. If you think that you can live on Tang, get after it. After all, it's the breakfast of astronauts. But in the final analysis, the nutrients that you're trying to obtain for your cells aren't available unless it's in the organic form. Okay, so now with that out of the way, it's obvious to me, then, he says, that this is the explicit role of plant life on Earth, for example, to convert inorganic elements to organic compounds which can be utilized by animal life. Table salt is the only food we eat that is inorganic, and frankly, it is not good for us. Flavors the French fries, no doubt, but that doesn't make it good for you. Sea energy agriculture, which is growing foods with sea solids as fertilizer, provides a means for improving our chemical intake without sacrificing our eating habits. Our meats, vegetables, fruits, and cereals would all be adequately balanced with the essential elements simply by growing all crops with sea salt technology. Now, it's been shown by agronomists that soil may contain a large amount of one particular combination of elements, and yet the plants cannot absorb them. The complex molecules of living tissue in plants and animals are made possible by the carbon atom. It is this linking up process that is made possible by the various elements and combinations called catalysts. And these catalysts invariably have a critical minor element or trace element that apparently serves as the key to their function. The presence or the absence of a trace element can be the deciding factor in determining whether a necessary element is absorbed into the plant's root system. The balance of elements must be correct in the soil for plants to synthesize their complete chemistry. Now, tomatoes serve us as an example of the need for this balance. Now, there may be a few individuals who know as much about raising tomatoes as I do, but there's nobody who knows more. Tomato growers know that potassium is a macro element, or an element with a major function in the plant's growth. So potassium is added to the soil in quantity by tomato growers. Yet the tomato itself has only a minor amount of potassium in the mature product. Now, my hydroponic experiments proved conclusively that only a small amount of potassium, as found in its proper balance in seawater, was needed to grow outstanding crops of unusually healthy tomatoes. My point is this, and that is that it is unnecessary to fertilize heavily with one element or another if an adequate balance of elements can be made available for the plant's use. Growing staple crops hydroponically in seawater solution has tremendous implications, especially for the starving millions in our world. One super advantage is that plants grown hydroponically require only about one-tenth the water that the same number of plants growing in soil require. The cost of hydroponic facilities becomes negligible when the exceptional productivity is considered. It sometimes burns me up to read that our establishment scientists have to say about the world's food problems. In fact, I'm going to digress from my main topic again. Listen to this. When the technical journals stress that the long-term solution to the food crisis is development of new productive crop hybrids and the spread of modern agricultural technology throughout the developing world, it makes me want to shudder. The established experts harp on things like pest control, the better to sell pesticides, my dear, better management of fragile soils, the better to mine the soils that we have, my dear, and novel ideas for storing water, but they turn a deaf ear toward sea salt technology, which provides all of these things naturally. And of course, there are economic pressures, and it is unrealistic to think that large fertilizer companies want to go out of business, which is precisely what would happen if sea salt technology takes its rightful place in our modern agricultural technology. What need would there be for chemical fertilizers if we took our fertilizer out of the ocean? I mean, you need one or the other, but you don't need both. Now, aside from economic and productivity implications, what are the implications for man if we are able to restore the chemical balance to our food? We can eliminate illness as we experience it today. And I know that too many of you, this sounds like a grandiose, unproven claim. But one must remember that we're only beginning to investigate this new agricultural technology. One of the most exciting prospects is that perfect nutrition could increase man's brain functions far beyond the presently exhibited capacity. Now consider the estimates by neurophysiologists who say that we use from about 1 to 10% of our 10 billion brain cells. the results of a more complete utilization of this particular cell group due to balanced physiological chemistry could be beyond our imagination. Now, I'm convinced that sea salt technology could be the way we humans finally learn to use our heads to solve serious problems. And it makes one wonder if things have always been this way. Have land, plants, and animals, and human beings always been as they are today? I don't think anyone can be certain, but perhaps at one time there really was a Garden of Eden where man's longevity was extended well beyond what it is today. If continents have truly been sloshed around in the sea, as cataclysmic geologists tell us happens every now and again, evidently the sea salts bathed the land masses and provided the survivors of the cataclysms with excellent nutrition. The latter is all speculation, of course, but it should be possible to locate pockets of preserved complete soil on Earth even today, thereby illustrating the value of balanced elements. Many investigators proclaim that they have found these areas where the soil has more complete chemistry, such as the Valley of the Hunzas in the Himalaya Mountains in Asia. In this elevated and isolated place, observers have reported that men and women live to a vigorous 120 years of age, and that they're able to procreate and bear children at 100 years or older, and that there are no chronic diseases, which is what we see in the oceans. There are no chronic diseases. Now, other investigators have found a tribe in northeastern Africa where the individuals possess phenomenal hearing and are in excellent health without chronic disease, and it's been learned that whenever these tribesmen go down to the coast to inhabit a civilized environment, which includes eating the food of civilized society, their health deteriorated sharply, and it doesn't take long before these super healthy specimens begin to resemble the rest of us. In fact, I find it amazing that the human is so sturdy after coping with civilization's arrogant disregard for nature for so many thousands of years. Now, still another isolated area is found in the Valley of Colombia in South America. Some individuals there claim to be 140 to 160 years of age, and they are in excellent health. Further investigation shows that these individuals come from valleys which are completely surrounded by mountains, and therefore minimal leaching or erosion of soil has occurred throughout the century. These differences between peoples should tell us something. Now, Dr. Eugene H. Payne, an investigator for the Park Davis & Company pharmaceutical firm, published an article in This Week magazine dated August 8, 1954, and it was titled Medicine's Most Amazing Mystery. And he related how he found six areas in South America that seemed magically free of cancer, heart disease, malaria, tooth decay, hookworm, and insanity. He also stated that hidden somewhere among them, in the water, the rocks, the soil, the food, or perhaps even in the minds of the people who live there, are six medical secrets so precious that to discover them and put them in scientific use might easily alter the whole course of mankind. Let me pause here for a moment and let's think about this. If you look in the scripture, you'll find that disease comes from just two sources. It's either starvation or toxins, poisons. If you develop symptoms, you get sick, then you're being starved to death. An example is we deprive you of vitamin C, you develop scurvy. We deprive you of vitamin D, you develop rickets. Or we're going to poison you. So if we poison you with some toxin, you get sick. And the solution to the toxin is activated charcoal. And the solution to starvation is nutrition. And it's just that simple. And once you do that, then disease disappears. Now, I'm pretty old. I'm not wearing glasses. I don't have a hearing aid. And I'm not in perfect health. Like, I could be better. But I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I don't eat fat. I don't eat blood. I don't eat unclean. And I'm the longest living Gordon in five generations. And in our family, just to pass this on to you, it's not genetic. Now, oftentimes in our modern medicine, they tell us, well, let's see, your mother had breast cancer, so therefore you're probably going to get breast cancer. Well, in our family, my granddad died of a heart attack. Now, my dad died of a car wreck. It broke his neck, but after the autopsy, they concluded that he was going to have a heart attack, and in pretty short order. He was 53 when he died, and they didn't think, and when I asked my brother, who had talked to the pathologist, he said, well, how long did Dad have to live? And he said, maybe 5 years. Which my dad then would have been 58 or less. Now, we took a look at the Gordons over the last five generations, and we found that Uncle Al died at age 46, Uncle Ed died at age 42, my granddad died at age 61, my great-grandfather died at age 54, that was in 1900, and my dad would have died by age 58, at least that's what they thought. Did it ever occur to anybody that our family all ate the same kinds of food? We all smoked, we all drank, and we all ate unclean foods, lots of fat, lots of abalone, mussels, crabs. And as a result of that, we died of coronary disease, and we died at an early age. Now, I changed that at a fairly early age. In my 30s, I stopped the drinking, the smoking, and the eating of the unclean meats, and I made it to 70. Now, you'd think that if there was some gene involved here, I would have inherited the gene. And oftentimes, we like to blame genes, but you know, children eat the foods that their parents prepare and put on the table for them. And those people continue to eat those foods into old age. And so when you feed people McDonald's, well, then they're going to eat McDonald's. That's just the way life is. You feed those people fat, blood, sugar, and white flour, and when they grow old, they will eat fat, blood, sugar, and white flour until it kills them, unless they change. Now, every once in a while, somebody wakes up and makes a change, and then the guy lives a little longer than the average, and everybody ignores that. But then when they die, or they develop breast cancer or some other cancer, well, see, your mother had it, her mother had it, her mother had it. Nobody ever puts two and two together and say, well, you're all eating the same kind of crap, and that's what's killing you. And so let's all wake up now and smell the coffee here. Now, Dr. Payne found in a province of Loga in Ecuador an area covering about 500 square miles where the people exhibited no sign whatsoever of heart disease or circulatory disturbance. There were plenty of diseases, you know, diseases like malaria, dysentery, and typhoid, but there were no cardiac problems. So the researcher had visited Loga to find an old friend who had retired to the region because of high blood pressure and heart problems. And so when the friends met, Dr. Payne learned that the retired man had normal blood pressure and no heart abnormalities. However, the researcher's friend reported whenever he left the area, it didn't take him long for his blood pressure to increase and his heart to begin to give him trouble. Loga, Ecuador, at least in the 1950s, was an island of immunity from heart disease. And let me point out one more little factoid here. And there's a documentary film out, and it's called Super Size Me. You might want to write that down, Super Size Me. It's about McDonald's. And a young fellow in perfect health, they went in and they measured his blood pressure, and they had three specialty doctors here to do this. They had a cardiologist, a general practitioner, and an internal medicine doctor, plus a nutritionist on the team. And the four of them now examined this kid. He's probably 25 years old, young fellow. And he wasn't overweight, and they took his cholesterol was normal, and his blood pressure was normal, and everything about him was in good health. So they started an experiment, and they're going to feed him just on McDonald's. He's going to eat at McDonald's three meals a day for 30 days. That's 90 meals. He's going to eat there 90 meals. So he did. He started off, and then every week they would take him in, and they would measure his blood pressure and his cholesterol and take a look at his physical health and so on. And the conclusion was, at the end of 30 days, he had gained about 10 or 12 pounds, and his cholesterol was abnormally high, and his blood pressure was high. At one point during the experiment, now, after about 3 weeks, the cardiologist recommended that he stop the experiment because his heart was in such poor condition or was reacting so poorly. And then they put this movie out called Super Size Me. This isn't to run down McDonald's. It tastes good, I don't deny. But the McDonald's Corporation isn't selling good health or good food. They're selling good taste. And as a result of that, the nutritional value of the products that they're selling is very poor. And if you keep eating that stuff, it's going to kill you at some point in time, you know, before you get to be 70. Now, I disagree somewhat with the conclusions that a lot of these people have. They think that if you live in Hunza land or Ecuador, you should live to be 120. The scripture says that you should live to be 70. There's a contract in the Bible. And under the terms of that contract, if you practice the laws of the Bible, God says, I will give you 70 years of life. Now, that's 25,550 days. If you just took 70 times 365. You'll come up to 25,550 trouble-free days with no sickness and no disease. Now, that's what the contract terms offer. It's called a tender offer. Now, if you're strong, you may live to be 80, and you're entitled to 70, and then you could live to be 80. Now, it is, from time to time, observable that people do live to be 100. Bob Hope and George Burns did, a couple of noteworthy fellows. But that's very unusual that people live to be 100. It's unusual to live to be 90. The average lifespan here in the United States is 75.6, according to Dead Doctors Don't Lie, Joel Wallach. That's another one you want to write down. It's called Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and you can pick that up from Joel Wallach. And I'm sure he's got a website. I don't know what it is. If you just look, Google Joel, J-O-E-L, Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. I mean, it'll make you smile when you hear the story on Dead Doctors Don't Lie. The average lifespan of an allopathic medical doctor is 58 years. The average lifespan of a couch potato here in the United States is 75.6. You'd think that these doctors, with all of their potions and all of their drugs, and would live to be 90 because they've got the best that money can buy in the way of medical services, don't they? Average lifespan of an allopathic medical doctor, 58. 75.6 for the average couch potato here in America. Joel Wallach says that tells it all. It's a very humorous story. I don't know what the price is, but it's worth double or triple or quadruple what you're going to pay. Now, the next one over here, remember, is Super Size Me. God, you'll love it. Talk about humor, talk about fun, talk about education, all wrapped up in one. I don't know where to get Super Size Me. It's on DVD. I've got a copy of it around here someplace. I don't remember where about it. People send that kind of thing to me, and then I watch it and look at it and report on it, and then I can't tell you what the price is, and I don't know where to get one. But I can tell you what it is. Super Size Me. You'll love it. And dead doctors don't lie. All right, going on. In 1943, Dr. Payne found another island of immunity. This one was located about 200 miles north of Lima, Peru, in a place called Calahina Huelas, which is nestled in a 75-mile-long valley high in the Andes Mountains. Now, all of the residents, without exception, were completely free from hookworm, which is an ugly, debilitating, and often fatal intestinal parasite, which normally flourishes in South America. In Minas Gerais, Brazil, Dr. Payne found an area of the country where everyone over the age of 15 years had far too many tooth cavities. So when he checked the water, he found it to be very high in fluorine. Fluorine, the element that we advertise as fighting against tooth decay, and then mix that into our drinking water and put it into our toothpaste. And that's because there were feldspar mines nearby. Well, the fluorine was present in unusually high concentrations, and yet in other areas of Brazil, where Dr. Payne found that fluorine was totally absent from the drinking water, the incidence of dental caries was lower than any reported in the United States. Now, that's kind of curious, isn't it? The fluorine didn't help a bit in the area where the soils had been depleted, and the highly advertised element wasn't needed where nutrition was improved. Although Dr. Payne's research expedition did not thoroughly analyze the foods in the soils of these various peoples, he suggested that it should be done, and I definitely agree. All right, now here's another little factoid to put into the equation here, boys and girls, and that is around the world where we look at soil condition, when we find people in these little pockets, whether it's the Hunzas up in the mountains of the Himalayas or over here in Peru and the Andes, if you take a look at the nutritional values in the soil, we find high nutritional values in the soil translates into an absence of decay in the teeth, which is usually where it begins first. When people's teeth start rotting out, you can tell we got nutritional deficiencies. And then it goes on up, and we find that people develop cardiovascular disease and cancers. As the soil nutrition gets poorer and poorer and poorer, we find that there is a whole host and plethora of other diseases that chime in, you know, like diabetes and obesity and so on. Now, we Americans, we eat well. We got plenty to eat. And we keep eating and eating and eating, and we're eating so much more because the food that we're eating is nutritionally deficient. Now, here's another little factoid. When the food that you eat has the trace elements in it, it sends a signal to your stomach, and it says, I've got enough. Don't send any more down. And if you want to test this, do it with a banana. Bananas have a lot of potassium in them. Now, you know, you get the munchies for something, such as, but not limited to, a banana, strawberries. You know, you just get kind of, you know, God, I'd just like to have some of that. And so I like to take bananas, peel them, and chop them up pretty good, you know, cut them up, and then put some cream and honey on them, and then eat them that way. And I think they're kind of tasty. But I can only eat one. Sometimes I can eat two once in a while. But I can't eat three, four, or five, no matter how hungry I am. Now, if you want to try that, you can do it with honey. And you got raw honey, you just start eating some raw honey. Tastes pretty good. But after about the second or third teaspoon, did you notice that, you know, you just get turned off. And right away you say, oh, up, up, up. I'm going to puke if I keep eating that, which is exactly correct. If you overdose on honey, you'll vomit. You overdose on bananas, you'll vomit. And that's the natural response because they're high in nutrients. And once those nutrients hit the stomach, it says stop, stop, stop. And if you don't stop, you then vomit it up. Now, that'll tell you what's going on here with your French fries or ice cream. You can eat ice cream until hell freezes over. You never get full of ice cream. You never get full of McDonald's. You never get full. And that's because there's no nutrients in it. So you keep eating and eating. It's got lots of calories. And so you're eating and eating. And the trace elements, which need to be in the food to tell you to shut it off, I got enough, it never tells you to shut it off because there aren't any in there. And so you keep eating and eating and eating. You get fatter than a pig, but you are starving to death. Hey, I got to give you a reminder right about now. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email. I'd do better than that. Click onto the archives page and download it right there. You can download that free general law CD package off of our archives page. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend the books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book, I call it a 1-in-100 read, called Sea Energy Agriculture. It was picked up by Acres USA out of the dust heap and printed. Dr. Murray died in 1984. Nobody was interested in his research or his findings through his lifetime. Nobody is interested in his research or his findings now after his lifetime either. I am, because this is the solution. But what we little guys need down here are solutions. And you can't find nutritional solutions at McDonald's, and you're not going to find them at your medical doctor or at the ER or the hospital. You're going to find it in your own garden. And this will give you an opportunity to put back those essential minerals into the soil right there where you live, and to do it right now while you've got an opportunity. So there's a company here that I told you about last time. I'm going to give it to you one more time. Now, this is not plugging a commercial entity here. We don't want to get involved in commerce. I'm not going to tell you what the prices are. I'm going to give you a name and a telephone number and a website. So if you got your pen and paper out there, copy this down. The company's name here is called SeaAgri, SeaAgri.com, SeaAgri.com. And their phone number is 770-361-7003. Again, that's 770-361-7003. Now, you can buy this stuff in bags, put it in your garage. You can sprinkle it on your garden. And then you can take out of the ocean, just like Morton Salt Company does and Leslie Salt now. They take these out. They sell you the sodium chloride, and they take the minerals out, and they sell that to somebody else that wants to pay money. So if you'd call that company there, they can pick you up. Now, the source for these kinds of things, I got this company's name out of Acres USA. So I like to recommend that you subscribe to Acres USA, because they are the main resource for the Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives of the world when it comes to finding ecological or organic or open-pollinated seeds, or the books that deal with organics. And you'll find it's the voice of eco-agriculture. I happen to be looking at the November 2009 volume 39, number 11 issue. I think it's $32 a year. $375 U.S. each, $5 in Canada. $375 U.S., $5 in Canada. And if you want compost, if you want open-pollinated seeds, if you want to buy a truckload of open-pollinated corn, non-GMO soybeans or something like that, and you're looking for a source, where would I go find that? You'll find it in Acres USA, or you can call Acres. Here's their phone number, 1-800-355-5513. Again, that's 1-800-355-5513. Now, for the pittance of $35 a year, they'll send you 12 issues, and it's about 90 pages. I told you that yesterday, 90 pages in this issue. And you'll have those sources in addition to a number of articles. And there's a book page in here. And if you want books on the subjects of organic agriculture, anything that deals with organics, this is the place, this is the source to go get it. And I can't think of a cheaper source or a cheaper place to find it. And I can't find a better one. Now, Rodale's good. I'm not arguing, you know, about there's not other sources out there. But I just can't think of one that's faster, easier, cheaper, better than Acres USA. And that includes worldwide. They ship these newsletters around the world. So it isn't just in the United States. You Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders can use it, and it's printed in English. And you can read it down there just like we do here. All right. Again, that's 1-800-355-5513. That's Acres USA phone number. And you can get them online at www.acresusa.com. Can't beat that, can you? Acres USA is all one word, .com. Now, a more recent report on the geographical differences in disease was written in the May 1971 issue of the MD, authored by Dr. M.J. Hill and co-workers of the Wright Fleming Institute at St. Mary's Hospital in London. Now, their research thoroughly investigated the relationship of cancer of the large bowel to the chemistry and bacteriology of stool specimens. The six locations studied included India, Uganda, Japan, England, Scotland, and the United States. Now, the first three nations have a low incidence of large bowel cancer, while the latter three have a very high incidence of the disease. Now, keeping in mind what has already been said about the importance of microbes and the balance of elements, we studied this 1971 report. Now, in the low incidence countries, whose diet is low in fat and low in animal protein, showed more aerobic bacteria and far fewer gram-negative anaerobes than the high-incidence countries. The Western countries featured a large consumption of animal fat. Now, I'm going to underline animal fat, put a little mark over here, and I want to tell you a story here. In the Bible, some 3,000 years ago, when Moses was up on the mountain, he received two tables of stone. Another important document that he received was the parchment. He received 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments from God. The two tables of stone contained the Ten Commandments, and the parchment, which was put into the Ark of the Covenant, contained the balance of the law. One of those statutes is recorded in Leviticus 3, verse 17, and it says, "You shall eat no manner of fat." And so let me write down the word no here, and then ask, well, what is it about this word no that you're having a problem with? Now, when you go to McDonald's, God love them, they've got a good-tasting product there, but it contains 30% fat. 30% fat. Now, here in the United States, we have a problem with bowel cancer. Bowel cancer. Now, notice here again, these researchers, as far back as 1971, let's see, that's 81, 91, 101, 111, next year will be 40 years, have known that there is a connecting link between a high-fat diet and bowel cancer. Now, the Japanese don't eat very much red meat. They eat mainly fish. A lot of unclean food, but that just shows you can eat a lot more unclean fish than you can clean fat meat. Now, God didn't tell you not to eat hamburger. He told you not to eat fat. And we Americans eat 247 pounds of red meat per year, of which 90% of it's fat. 90% is fat. Excuse me. 90% of it's hamburger, of which 30% of that 90% is fat. That's the way to do that. Now, let me try this one out. If we had 247 pounds times 0.90, we're eating 222 pounds of hamburger per year. Times 0.30 means we're eating 66.69 pounds of fat a year. So the average American is eating about 65 pounds of suet, just straight fat per year. Now, we were told not to eat any fat. No, none, nada, zero fat. Okay. So there you are. Now, you're a big boy or a big girl, and you can decide for yourself what you want to do. I just wanted to report to you. Your creator told you not to eat it. Your intestinal system isn't designed to digest it. You don't have enough hydrochloric acid. That's number one. Number two, we find that after having eaten it, we're among the number one, number two, and number three countries in the world with bowel cancer. So just put two and two together and figure that out. Here's another little kicker for you. If you take a look at penile cancer, the highest incidence of penile cancer in the world is in China, where if you take the number of people who come down with cancer every year in China, 14% of that number will have penile cancer. Now, there's a group of people in the world that practice circumcision. They're called Jews. They're not the only people that practice circumcision, but they're a good test group because they all practice that. It's universal among that demographic group. And in that demographic group, they have zero penile cancer. In the 20th century, here in the United States, two circumcised Jews came down with penile cancer. Two in 100 years. And they were both documented in the American Medical Journal. That's how rare. I guess you could say it's not impossible for a Jew to get penile cancer, but, boy, yeah, statistically, it's at zero, two cases in 100 years. Now, tuck that away in your heart and then ask yourself, well, if in China, those people in China all practice circumcision, you could just about eliminate penile cancer. I also wanted to point out that circumcision is a requirement in the scripture. Next. Keeping in mind what's already been said about the importance of microbes in the balance of elements, we studied this 1971 report. And the low-incidence countries whose diet is low in fat and animal protein showed more aerobic bacteria and far fewer gram-negative anaerobes than the high-incidence countries. The Western countries featured a large consumption of animal fat. Anaerobic bacteria metabolize steroids much better than aerobic bacteria, thus a high incidence of cholesterol metabolism was found in the feces of the high-incidence countries. This concentration of acid steroids derived from bile salts was 7 to 11 times higher in the feces of the high-incidence countries than in the low-incidence countries. Dexacolic acid, a bacterial degradation product of bile salts, which is considered carcinogenic or cancer-causing, correlates with the higher incidence of colon cancer. The British oncologists concluded that the results strongly supported the postulate that the geological differences and the incidence of colon carcinoma may be related to dietary habits and that these could operate through their influence on the nature and number of intestinal bacteria. Okay, pause for a moment. Dr. Murray's conclusion was this. When an organism has the nutrients in the cells, the cancer cannot attack those cells and destroy them. When there is a lowering of or a shortage of these trace elements, the bacteria attack those cells and kill them. And so there's the science behind it. So Dr. Murray, who is a scientist of and by himself, said now his experiments showed him that if you want to stop cancer, this is his experiment, remember, with the frog, you make sure that the frog has got plenty of its trace element nutrients and you can actually inject the cancer right into the frog and his immune system will kill it and throw it out. You don't have to inject anybody with cancer. They will develop it of and by themselves if you deprive them of their nutrients. Now, there's the bottom line to the story. It isn't that you have to give up on McDonald's, but if you're going to eat at McDonald's, you're not going to get your cell salts, and if you don't, then you're going to have to get them someplace else. Now, could you eat at McDonald's if you had these salts? And my guess would be you probably could. Probably. It probably wouldn't be advisable any more than flying an airplane under a bridge, but if there's enough room between the water and the deck of the bridge, you can fly an airplane under it. And I've done that a time or two. Again, you know, it's not good practice, but then it's not impossible. So it would seem like to me that if you had the cell salts, if you got the ocean salts, and you put that into your garden and you ate out of your garden and flooded your body with these minerals and then went down and you ate the nutritionally deficient food at McDonald's, probably wouldn't cause you a great deal of harm. You could probably survive that. Now, that report and this discussion remind me of the statement by a pediatrician who said that if the people think they're really in good health, then they should ask themselves if they can defecate and not need to wipe the residue from the anus. People in animal husbandry know that illness is indicated when animals do not have clean bowel movements. And I'm convinced that if the chemistry of the human being was as it should be, fecal matter could be defecated in the same manner as a horse, a dog, or a sheep without leaving any residue. Now, I realize it's harping on the subject to continue in this vein, but it appears the facts must be drilled home, or we will continue munching away complacently and paying through the nose for medical treatments. Our accepted notions, played to the hilt by the advertising media, are every bit as sick as our population. I nearly gagged when I saw the television commercial for Pepto-Bismol complacently suggest that indigestion is part and parcel with living, so to avoid the pain, coat the stomach lining. We are being deluded, and we are deluding ourselves about our progress and our condition. For example, in Mexico, a country whose sanitation practices are notoriously poor by American standards, and where inoculation is seldom practiced, smallpox is very rare. Now think about that. The so-called filthy disease smallpox against which we must inoculate ourselves is almost unknown in a country with lower standards of hygiene and sanitation than our own. And we can't blame it all on the high incidence of animal fat that we ingest. The Eskimos and many of the less civilized peoples of Polynesia enjoy diets which are high in animal fat. And yet hardening of the arteries is highly unusual among these primitives, as we call them, primitives. We blame our high incidence of arterial sclerosis on those same fats. Now, during World War I, in about 1918, with high military standards for physical and mental fitness, 31% of all the young Americans called for induction into the armed forces were rejected as unfit. For World War II, about 1943, the rejection rate was over 50%, so the standards were lowered to a point below that of 1918. This lowering of standards lowered the rejection rate to 41%. And during the period between 1948 and 55, which included the Korean War, the physical and mental standards were lowered even more. And yet the rejection rate of young men between ages 18 and 25 climbed to 52%. More than half of the young men of our nation who were called for military duty were rejected. Now, how can we call ourselves healthy? Any nation with a drug industry flourishing as well as ours certainly cannot claim to be in good health. Now, having posed these questions and observations, it's now time to propose an answer. And the answer is food power from the sea. Food power from the sea. Today, 99% of Americans have symptoms. You're wearing glasses, a hearing aid, you're obese, you've got allergies. You know, when the weatherman comes on, he says, you got pollen in the air. You know, there was a time when it didn't make any difference whether there was pollen in the air or not. All right, I'm about out of time. Let me remind you, this is Acres USA. Acres USA is at 1-800-355-5513. That's your phone number. Again, that's 1-800-355-5513. Or go to www.acresusa.com. Once more, that's acresusa, all one word, .com. Well, let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.